Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Twin City Fellowship, a non-denominational Christian church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or on the web at cicministry.org. This is Dick Cuffell, your host for the next half hour. We're speaking today with Bob DeWay, pastor of Twin City Fellowship and author of Critical Issues Commentary. Our topic today is, Are Christians Cursed? And as we begin, I'd like to read a Jeremiah quote. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is in the Lord. I want to jump to where we're going to conclude, Bob, just at the beginning, for those that don't hear our conclusion at the end of the half hour. What's the heart of the matter that we're discussing today? What are we going to conclude?
It's a good passage. I love that passage, and it's from the Old Testament, showing that the key issue that we need to know about concerning blessing and cursing is a relationship with God of faith and trust. And if we have a relationship, a covenant relationship with God, we put our trust in Him, and we put our hope in Him, as it says there, we are blessed. However, if we are trusting in ourselves or our fellow man or any other kind of religion of works, we're inherently cursed.
That's the true biblical perspective that we espouse, and for the rest of the half hour, that's going to be the basis that we're working on. But there's another view in the theological market expressed by Marilyn Hickey in her book, Break the Generation Curse. What does she claim?
She claims, honestly, after having read the book a couple times, that basically every Christian is cursed.
Okay, that's going to be a
long
way.
She doesn't come out and say it in so many words, but if you wear eyeglasses, you're cursed. If you're poor, you're cursed. If you're sick, you're cursed. If you have any kind of weakness, issues, or problems in your life, you're probably under a generational curse. And according to Hickey, these things may have happened through unknown sources. Your grandfather maybe was in the occult. She gives examples in her book of farmers whose land was cursed because many, many years ago there were occult activities there, so on and so forth. So basically, there's these unseen things going on that are bringing curses on Christians, and we have to find out what they are.
It was interesting. I got that list out of the book, and it was fear, feet trouble, headaches, migraines, heart disease, inferiority complex, insomnia, multiple sclerosis, negative self-image, nervous conditions, strokes, poverty, rebellious children, unsaved families, worries, etc. It went on. Okay, that's quite a list. Anyway, that it's pervasive. What's her answer, though? How do you find out?
Well, as is common, by the way, it isn't just Marilyn Hickey. There are a number of teachers out there that are misusing this generational curse idea. And you find out by revelation. You need some subjective revelation from God to find out what's going on.
How do you get that?
Well, I guess you have to read her book and find out all the clues. And the claim is that God is going to give you a revelation, and you'll find out what it is, and then you have to say something. You have to use some kind of a, almost borders on pagan incantations. There are certain formulas you have to say to break the curse.
There was some advice in the book that you commented was actually okay, but there's a general thesis that was not good. Your comment was something about the repentance of bitterness and forgiveness of others was mentioned.
As you go through the book, there are some things that are biblical. She suggests that we should forgive other people who have wronged us. That's true. Jesus taught us that. She also had some ideas about getting away from bitterness, which I think is very helpful. We definitely should not have bitterness in our hearts. It says that in Hebrews chapter 12.
Absolutely. We stated the biblical answer to where we're going today with the program. That was at the beginning, and we're going to close with it. But how are you going to dissect Hickey's theology?
Well, I've identified four prominent errors in this whole theology of these blessings and cursings that her book, I think, commits these errors and many other ones like it.
Okay. The four that you had listed were who pronounces the curse, God or the devil. The second was confusion of covenants. The third is logical fallacies. And the fourth is a pagan worldview. And so I want to go after those individually.
Okay.
All right. The first one, let's start. Who pronounces the curse, God or the devil?
That's really an amazing oversight, because she is saying the devil is going to do these things because of these curses. So the devil is the one who is putting curses on us. according to Marilyn Hickey and other of these teachers. Now, the passages that they cite as proof say something totally different. For instance, the second commandment about God visiting the iniquities on the third and fourth generation, or in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and 28, where the blessings and cursings are listed, okay? There are dozens of times where it says, the Lord will smite. God will do this. God will judge his people if they break covenant. The issue was, they were in a covenant relationship with God. They're supposed to worship him and him alone. If they break covenant, worship idols, turn away from God, hate him — covenant breaking means hating God in the Old Testament — then God will bring these curses. Now, Marilyn Hickey takes these passages and suggests that the problem is the devil, and we need to know how to attack the devil and get ourselves free from the devil.
I want to just read a couple of these. Deuteronomy 28:20 says, "The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke in all you undertake to do, until you're destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me." It was very clear it was the Lord will send upon you at the beginning of that. And in Deuteronomy 29, it says, "Why has the Lord done this to the land?" and goes on from there. Mm-hmm. So in all the cases, it's the Lord. And yet Hickey is saying that it's not the Lord.
She's saying it's the devil. She makes the unwarranted assumption that the devil is the operative party in the curse. And this leads to many errors that are common in the church today, and that is the assumption that our whole destiny is this battle between us and the devil, and God is sort of the referee that's laying out the rules out here.
It's kind of a cosmic foot race.
Well, yeah, and then God is setting up the whole thing and making these laws that govern the world. And then us and the devil battle out to see who's going to end up on top. But I'm getting ahead of myself, because that's the pagan worldview. But nevertheless, we should just look at the passages. What does it say in the scriptures that are being referenced? And it says clearly God is the one who brings the curse because of idolatry and covenant breaking.
Doesn't Hickey also have a generational aspect in what she's answering?
Yes. Oftentimes, the generational thing is brought up, and we'll be talking more about that in another article, another radio show. But nevertheless, the idea is that there's this third and fourth generation from the second commandment in the Decalogue. The idea being, perhaps your grandfather played with a Ouija board, and you don't even know that that was the case. But for some reason, now you're having trouble in your life. You have bad eyesight. You lost your job. So there may be some secret curse that happened because of something in previous generations, and that's what's causing you all your trouble. And the devil has the right to do these things, according to this teaching, because when someone sins, then the devil has the right to do bad things to their grandchildren. Now, I'm saying that this is so hopelessly confusing that anyone coming under this teaching is going to be convinced that they're cursed.
If we were going to sum this, there was a quote out of the book that, how do you get rid of curses? We say, hey, devil, wait a minute. My generation doesn't belong to you, because I bind you in the name of Jesus, and you're not going to do it. All right. What would be your perspective?
There are so many things wrong with that statement. Where do we start? Number one, where does it say in the New Testament we're supposed to talk to the devil? All right. Number two, it's a total misuse of the idea of binding and loosing, which we'll be teaching on soon. I think next week, in fact, we will talk about binding and loosing.
Next week.
That's not about talking to the devil. Number three, the problem, if we are cursed, the problem isn't the devil. The problem is we're not putting our hope and trust in God. So what we really need to be concerned with is where we are vis-a-vis God, not vis-a-vis the devil.
Perfect. Okay, our second error, confusion of covenants. The farm family at the beginning of the book, we didn't talk about that, but there was a story at the beginning of the book, based their revelation knowledge on Leviticus 19:19. It's Old Testament, but it is Scripture, Robert. What's the problem?
There's a lot of anecdotal evidence in the book for proof of these curses, but there was this farmer who was having financial problem and supposedly got a revelation that God was cursing him because he had crossbred cattle. Okay, and the proof of that was Leviticus 19:19, which says that you shouldn't breed together two kinds of cattle. Now, think about that for a moment. There are 613, I believe, Levitical laws in the Old Testament. In the Old Covenant, did they have to follow these laws? They weren't allowed to sow their field with two kinds of seed. They're not to wear a garment with two kinds of material mixed together. So if we are still under that kind of a curse, which Hickey is claiming, that if you wear a cotton poly blend shirt, you're cursed.
Wow.
And so, and here's the problem. Either you're going to go back to the Old Covenant and keep every last one of those laws, lest you're cursed, or we're under some new covenant where we're not under those laws.
Are you saying then that Hickey's solution is law?
It's the Galatian heresy all over again, because the Galatian heresy was saying you have to be circumcised or you can't be a part of a covenant blessing with God. And Paul actually calls the people who teach that accursed. All right? So by Hickey saying we have to keep the Old Testament covenant law or we're cursed, or at least suggesting it through her anecdotal evidence, then she is actually just the opposite, putting us under a curse, because now we have to try to keep all of the law lest we be cursed. And Paul said in Galatians 3 and verse 13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And Paul said in Galatians 3 that everyone who tries to be justified by works of law is cursed, because cursed is he who does not keep all of the commandment. So if we're cursed because of crossbred cattle, we're cursed because of cotton poly blend, and we're also cursed because we ate pork or any other of these things. So you can't go back in the Old Testament and pick and choose certain Levitical laws and say Christians have to keep this one but not the other one.
Excellent. I want to break here for a moment, Bob, because some of the folks won't be able to stay with us the whole half hour. I'd like to remind you that this is Twin City Fellowship. The program is called Critical Issues Commentary. You might want to get in touch with us.
We have a website, TwinCityFellowship.com, and this is issue 40 of Critical Issues on Curses I wrote in 97. This article gets read more than any other one that we posted. There's 66 articles on there. So I'm writing another article on this issue of curses, blessing and cursing, and I'm going to go into detail in expounding the Old Testament passages about God visiting the iniquities to the third and fourth generation. And a lot of people are wondering about those things. What do they mean? So if you'd like to get that, it will be published about the time this broadcast is on the air. So if you'd like to get this next article that really explains these Old Testament passages, give us a call, Twin City Fellowship, 612-874-7484, or click on our website, TwinCityFellowship.com, and ask for your free subscription to Critical Issues Commentary.
Excellent. Now, we'll review that at the end of the program in case you missed it. But for now, that's who we are and how you can find us. We're going to continue with our discussion. So far, we've said that Hickey has the wrong operator doing the cursing. Cursing's done on the wrong basis. Now you point out some fallacies in her logic. What, for instance?
Well, some of the theology is quite interesting. She has this theory that Canaan, in the story of Noah, was a homosexual, which the Bible doesn't say, and that because he was or committed a homosexual act, which the Bible doesn't say, that Sodom and Gomorrah became cursed because they were his descendants.
I've heard that in other places other than Hickey.
Okay, she's probably repeating it from somewhere else. And so the idea is that this was a generational curse and that Sodom and Gomorrah were wiped out because of the sin of one of their ancestors, and that there's a cause and effect relationship between Canaan and Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I believe that Sodom and Gomorrah were indeed wiped out because of their sin, and their sin was homosexuality. I believe that. But the logical fallacy is this idea of cause and effect. In other words, because Canaan existed before Sodom and Gomorrah in history, and maybe he was a homosexual, but it doesn't say that. We don't know that. But so that's just thinking. Maybe he was. So therefore, what happened later must have been caused by him. This is a basic logical fallacy. It goes something like this. You can say this. Curses are caused by sin. This is true. There are certain things listed in the Bible that are curses. For instance, if you go back in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, about all the things that or examples of what it would be like to be cursed, as Hickey does, pretty soon you get a very comprehensive list. And if we look and take an inventory, we're all cursed. Sickness is a curse, right?
Yes.
So, curses are caused by sin, right? Therefore, if you're sick, you're a sinner. You're a worse sinner than everybody else around. That's the logical fallacy. Because that's refuted in the New Testament. In John 9, where they asked why this man was born blind, was it because his parents sinned or he sinned? And Jesus said, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents. It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. John 9, 2 and 3. God providentially allowed a man to be born blind so that Jesus' act of healing would reveal Jesus to be the Creator God with all power, and to reveal Jesus as the true Messiah, and do this wonderful thing that happened. Now, this doesn't sit well with people, but it's what it says. Read John 9. So we can't go looking around and say, this person needs glasses, this person has cancer, this person has a broken leg, this person has this sickness, so therefore they must have sinned worse than somebody else. The Bible doesn't say that, but yet that's what this faith teacher, Marilyn Hickey, is teaching.
How does Job fit into her scenario?
Job caused his own problems, according to her. Against the testimony of the book of Job itself, against any clear grammatical, historical interpretation of Job, she claims that Job's own fearfulness contributed to the curse that the devil brought on him. Now, the Bible says no such thing. Again, read Job. You find out that God was allowing these things to reveal himself in a greater way to Job.
In the first chapter, it was Satan going to God asking for permission to do certain things, wasn't
Satan it? Satan needs permission from God, which, by the way, listeners, there's a lot of false teaching out there about this that suggests that the whole issue is just between us and the devil. If you're worried about the devil, and he's real, I believe, in the reality of Satan and demons, then the best thing to do is to get in right relationship with God through faith in Christ, through the gospel, through the cross, and appeal to God, because the devil can do nothing to you as a Christian without getting permission from God first.
There was also a comment Jesus made at one point, quoted in Luke 13, I believe, having to do with a calamity. It was people killed by Herod. Could you comment on that part?
Here's what it says. And he answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans, those killed by Herod, were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. You know, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The whole human race is cursed because of original sin. The whole human race is sitting under a curse and facing eternal punishment. And the only way to get delivered from the curse is through the cross, through Jesus Christ, to come into a covenant relationship with God and to be blessed. So blessing and cursing in the Bible always have to do with the covenant relationship with God, not Satan manipulating the universe in some cosmic way that we have to get secret information about in order to thwart Satan.
Okay, we have a wrong person doing the cursing, confused covenants, we have errors in logic. We have to focus on the pagan worldview.
Okay.
Now that requires some explanation. What do you mean?
The pagans saw themselves in a world in which gods and demigods were battling things out for control of the universe, and that humans were pawns in this thing, but if the humans did the right things and hooked up with the right deities and made the right cantations and they got priests to do things for them, that maybe we could, in this big cosmic confusing mess of battles and warfare, that maybe we could eke out a better lot in life by pacifying the right deity or by learning magical incantations or hiring somebody like Balak did when he wanted to hire Balaam to curse Israel. Let's get one of these experts to break curses for us, or maybe an exorcist. That's a pagan worldview. And many of the popular teachings that are coming on radio and TV to Christians today are coming from the basis of a pagan worldview.
What did God promise when he established the covenant?
He promised that they were blessed. And blessing was based on God's sovereign choice of Abraham. Let's just look at the beginning of this whole idea of the covenant of blessing, Genesis 12, 2 and 3. God said to Abraham, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, so that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Blessing was based on God's sovereign choice of Abraham and the ensuing relationship. The key to walking in blessing was covenant faithfulness.
Okay, contrast this with the pagan view.
The pagans are basing blessing and cursing on knowledge and revelations and utterances, incantations, all kinds of things that people, hoops that you got to jump through to try to get blessing into your life.
Is hoops a theological term?
No, that's a common idiom here.
Kind of a seminary talk.
Well, we use this idea of jumping through hoops sense that somebody is sitting there saying, you do this, you do this, you do this, and then maybe you'll get something good out of it. So that's what I mean by that. And so that the false teachers are the ones who are putting the hoops out there for the people that listen to them.
Okay, let's tie these two together and comment on the role of knowledge. And in this case, she goes off and discusses the world of knowledge as she found it in Scripture. I think she uses the Hosea 4:6.
Yeah, one of the most misused verses in the Bible. Marilyn Hickey claims that we are destroyed for lack of knowledge, meaning lack of knowledge about this secret information that's going on in the cosmic world.
As do others that teach that
Oh, yeah. I heard a guy named Bob Larson teaching this. Neil Anderson teaches this. And my next article that you can get, as I said earlier, I'm going to quote a bunch of other people who teach this same thing. They're saying that we don't know about these curses. We don't know about these secret things that are going on in the universe. So Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge. But it's taken out of context. What does it say in the context? Let me read to you Hosea 4:1. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land.
Now, that's pretty specific.
Yes, they don't know God. Brothers and sisters, if you're Christians, if you know God through Jesus Christ and you love him and you trust him, you're blessed. You are inheriting the blessing of Abraham, as it says in Galatians chapter 3 and in Genesis 12. In verse 3, all the families of the earth will be blessed through this Abrahamic promise, which includes Messiah. It basically, it's through Messiah that we're blessed. And these people are telling you that you're cursed because you don't know this secret information that you're going to get from their book. That is a horrible, tragic misuse of Scripture. And to tell people that know God, that love him with all their hearts, that they're cursed because of some lack of secret information is nothing less than occultism.
So you would not agree with a modern faith teacher who said, devils bring maladies into the lives of Christians because they lack special revelation knowledge, that they have to get special revelation knowledge from supposed anointed teachers, and that genetic weaknesses are seen as spiritual curses coming on Christians to destroy them, etc.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And folks, that these people are making millions of dollars in huge followings, preaching these heresies and lies, is a tragic thing in our day. And I want to assure you that whom God blesses is blessed. Let's just go back to Balaam. He was a false prophet, but God used him. Balaam wanted to get a lot of money for cursing Israel. And he was good at putting on curses. He was an occultist, a diviner. And he used divination and sorcery. Balak hired him to curse Israel. And what did Balaam say when he got up to curse Israel? He says, God is blessed, and I can't reverse it. He ended up opening his mouth, and out came a blessing. Because God had ordained that Israel be blessed. Why? Because Israel was sinless? No. Because Israel had done all the right good works so they deserved blessing? No. But because Israel was his covenant people and they were in a relationship with him and they were putting their trust in him to a certain degree at that point. And God had chosen to bless Israel. And so, therefore, Balaam couldn't curse them. And so, these people are telling us that if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and we're in a covenant relationship with God and we're inheriting the blessings of Abraham, that we're still cursed because devils and demons and great grandfathers and crossbred cattle and everything under the sun, this is a horrible lie.
How would you sum this up in a couple of lines?
I think I just did.
If it wasn't too bad, let me try. Those who put their hope and trust in God are blessed. That's Jeremiah 17:5. And those who put their trust in man are cursed.
There you go.
Jeremiah 17:7.
If you know that, you know more than the people writing the books about it.
That was kind of a simple conclusion, wasn't it? That's it for today, folks. For those of you who might want to contact us or visit our church, we're Twin City Fellowship in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Our telephone number is 952-935-3100, or you can find us on the web at cicministry.org. For Critical Issues Commentary, this is Dick Cuffell
and Bob Duway.
See you next week.